I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
As I described you this warning that the FBI has put out, you might have a strange sense of deja vu. The FBI and another agency called CISA is now warning that there will be digital attacks on election infrastructure around the election. And they want you to know these attacks, you can hear me putting them in air quotes, attacks, quote, could hinder access to election information, but would not impact the security or integrity of election processes. It's August. How on earth would they know that in August? And what? It goes down and we have no access, but then it all comes back online and Kamala wins? Wait, didn't that happen? Actually, this sounds a lot like what happened in 2020. I'll never forget it for the rest of my life, as long as I live. Brett Baer comes on, it's around 11 p.m., and he announces that Florida and North Carolina have been won by Donald Trump, and that given that, he's got an 80% chance of clinching the presidency. I'm getting tired, I'm getting ready to go to bed. But then something strange began to happen, and only across the swing states? Yeah, big elections centers, processing centers for votes in the swing states, one by one, began to shut down. And in Georgia, in some cases, like in Georgia, there was supposedly a leak. In other places, there was nothing like that. They just decided to shut down in the middle of the night and eject the Republican poll watchers. And in some cases, put cardboard up over the glass. And when they reopened in the wee hours of the morning, Donald Trump's large lead that he had when they closed down was gone. And suddenly, in every single state, Biden was ahead. I saw it and I knew you'll never convince me otherwise that they stole this election, that in the middle of the night they needed to shut down in order to manufacture the votes to get Joe Biden over the finish line. Like I said, you'll never convince me otherwise. But here's the weird thing about that episode. If you've been listening to me since back then, you remember something about it. In August and September, a series of strange things began to happen. It started with the Washington Post warning, oddly specific, just like this warning from the FBI, the Washington Post warning back in August and September of 2020 that it would seem like Donald Trump had won. But then the absentee ballots would come in and Joe Biden would win. And that might cause a lot of confusion. Well, weirdly, after that warning, Facebook came out with another warning saying the same thing, oddly specific, that it would, you know, appear maybe that Trump won, but then it would be Biden. And so we shouldn't question that. Oh, and by the way, Facebook announced if you do question the outcome of the election, you'll be censored. In fact, you'll be so censored that we're not even going to allow you to send messages on the Facebook messaging app to friends and family about it. Again, a bizarrely high level of detail about what was coming in the 2020 election, starting when? Well, right now, August and September. So longtime listeners to The Tara Show and to the Battleground America podcast remember those bizarre warnings. Well, this sure sounds familiar. Here's what the FBI and CISA write in their public service announcement entitled, Just So You Know, DDoS attacks could hinder access to election information, would not prevent voting. Again, how do they know this? This is nuts. Here's what they write. This public service announcement is to raise awareness that distributed denial of service, DDoS attacks on election infrastructure or adjacent infrastructure that supports election operations could hinder public access to election information, but would not impact the security or integrity of the election process. How do you know that? And why is there nothing in here saying they're working overtime trying to stop it? Again, listen to how oddly specific. A DDoS attack on election infrastructure could hinder access to election information, but would not impact the security or integrity of the election process. How do they know an attack on election infrastructure wouldn't impact election results in advance? Is it because this is their plan to have an attack that shuts down key election infrastructure? And then when everything comes back online, we've got to accept the results because they've told us beforehand this would happen. Oh, and by the way, if it's like last time, CISA and the FBI just happened to be the very two agencies that censored people who questioned the election. Yeah, those two agencies, they're pre-inoculating this very strange event. And I mean, folks, if you reverse engineer this PSA, it sure looks like that's their plan. So, and the only part in this that they don't say is who they're going to blame for it. It's usually going to be the Russians. That'd be my bet. Or maybe the Chinese. Or how about the Iranians? They've been talking a lot about them lately. We just don't know who they're going to blame for this attack. Or maybe right-wing terrorists. Yeah, that's the ticket. Well, the federal government doesn't say who these threat actors will be. Again, they probably haven't picked it yet. They haven't probably settled on whether they're going with Russia or Iran. But whatever. Threat actors, listen to what else they write in the Cyber Express, which covered this bizarre announcement from the FBI and CISA agencies. Listen to this. Threat actors may use DDoS attacks to create false narratives of election compromise, aiming to undermine public confidence in U.S. elections. Oh, okay, I get it. So some unnamed somebody's going to crash this when Trump's winning and it'll come back and Kamala's winning. And then they're going to say that it's misinformation by threat actors that the election was compromised. And so CISA and the FBI, who again also happen to be the two main censorship arms of the federal government, they're going to have to go in and, let me guess, censor these threat actors using DDoS attacks to create false narratives of election compromise. Do I have that right? I guess I'm getting pretty close. And they include more oddly specific information. While these low-level DDoS attacks could disrupt public access to election-related information, they will not compromise the security or integrity of the voting process. Oh, that's good to know. DDoS attacks are anticipated to target election-related functions, such as voter lookup tools or unofficial election night reporting, potentially causing temporary disruptions, but will not attack or affect the actual voting process. Okay, so essentially what they're saying is the lights are going to go out again. What are you guys going to eject the Republican poll watchers again? You go do this again? And then you think they wouldn't dare, but then you think, well, they totally got away with it last time. Why wouldn't they try it again? The only problem they're going to have this time is they don't have a backdoor in Twitter. They don't have a way to censor people telling true things on Twitter. And that could really cause them a problem if they try this again. Because last time they had a total censorship lockdown. Keep your eye on this, folks. I have a feeling this is going to be huge and most definitely pre-planned. Okay, I want to pause here for just a minute to thank PhD Weight Loss for sponsoring this podcast. And not just for the 29 pounds I've lost, but for the fact that I've been able to keep it off. They have such a great support system on the back end. I just joined their PhD Alumni Association. And I went in last week for another weigh-in and session with my coach to update me on what's new with PhD Weight Loss. Look, I've lost 10, 15, 20 pounds before and always put it back on. This time I lost 29. I did it in 6 months, but I'm most proud of the 17 months I've kept it off. I've never been able to do that before, maintain a size six. And that's a testament to how different PhD weight loss is. You could do it from any state in the nation. Find out more. Go to myphdweightloss.com. Tell them Tara sent you. That's myphdweightloss.com. Now back to the podcast. Meanwhile, the strangest thing happened last week. The public in America reeled from the news that after killing a mere 2,900 of us, the three key co-conspirators behind the 9/11 attacks, including Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, would be let out of the death penalty. In a plea deal, we weren't allowed to see. Yeah, the main parts of it were secret. But they let us know that the plea deal would let them out of the death penalty. Okay, that was bizarre. I'm an old crime reporter, and Josh Hawley, the senator, noticed the same thing I did. Normally, when prosecutors offer plea deals, when they offer, like they take the death penalty off the table, it's in exchange for something. Like you get something back. You don't just do it because you happen to like the 9/11 hijackers. Well, there's nothing offered in this plea deal. There's no quid pro quo. It's just, hey, you don't want to die? No, we don't. Okay, cool. Don't die. This doesn't make sense. And I think the Biden administration or whoever runs it, Obama, I don't know, drastically underestimated the reaction of horror to this by normal Americans. Wait, they killed 2,900 of us and they're going to spend the rest of their cushy days at Gitmo? Which, by the way, to run costs $12 million per terrorist. $12 million per terrorist, right? So the Biden administration insisted last week they are totally confused. They had no idea where this plea deal came from. They're just as horrified as we were. But there's nothing they could do to stop it. So you might as well just accept, oh, wait. And then on Friday, after the backlash hit a fever pitch, it turned out they were lying the whole time. The defense secretary, who's appointed by Joe Biden, actually could put an end to the plea deal. And he did right away, proving he could do it the whole time. And Biden, or whoever's running the Biden administration, could have ordered him to. Shockingly, even CNN Pentagon correspondent Oren Lieberman admitted it. The Biden administration had lied. They'd had the power the whole time to stop this plea deal. So why did they want it in place? I'll tell you in a minute. First, here's CNN.
The White House said yesterday they were not aware of this plea deal until it was struck. Do we know if Secretary Alston was aware of this?
What we've reported and what others have reported for more than 2.5 years is that plea deal discussions were in the works. So this shouldn't have been a surprise to the Pentagon or to anybody else that there was a process that was ongoing to try to get to a plea deal. Had Austin or the White House wanted to stop this process and say, look, a plea deal is off the table, they could have done that at any point over the course of the past 2.5 years.
Huh. So again, they're lying when they say that Biden, Harris, Austin couldn't have stopped this. What might have made them suddenly stop in their tracks when they were so close to letting these key 9/11 co-conspirators off the hook for the murder of 2,900 Americans?
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, here's CNN Pentagon correspondent Oren Lieberman's explanation of that.
Had Austin or the White House wanted to stop this process and say, look, a plea deal is off the table, they could have done that at any point over the course of the past 2.5 years. And that's part of why this is such a surprise that Austin simply and quietly posts a memo in which he relieves the woman who is in charge of the military court at Guantanamo Bay and revokes the plea agreements that had gotten to this point. You have to believe that part of that was the ferocity of the bipartisan backlash and the ferocity of the backlash from the victims' families when they were notified of this and then when it was announced publicly.
So let me translate. The Biden administration figured they'd just lie about cutting this deal, have the media claim they were helpless, there was nothing they could do about it, and the whole thing just wash over, except it didn't wash over. Okay, question. Why do this now? Why not? If you just want to help your terrorist friends out, we know Democrats love terrorists. We've documented that exhaustively here, especially Islamic ones who want to murder Americans. Why not just wait till December after the election to do this? After all, we've already waited 23 years for this sentencing. So why not? Well, you know why? Because this is political. Folks, remember what happened in Dearborn, Michigan a few months back? And folks, for Democrats, understand something. For both parties, this is not a nationwide election. Okay? Every one of these states are locked in, except about six of them. There's really only, honestly, four true swing states. For the Democrats, Michigan is a must win. And that means that all the unvetted Muslim refugees that have been let in here, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of them that have settled in the area, must come out and vote for the Democrats. It's critical. Instead, these same radicalized, in many cases, not all, but many cases, populations have begun to show up to protest Biden-Harris events. Why? They feel they are not sufficiently sympathetic to the terrorist group Hamas, for starters. Well, what would be a way to pacify them, to show you're on board with something they'd really love? What is that? Letting them in. The 9/11 co-conspirators, who are heroes to many of these people, off the hook without a death penalty, as a way to signal that you will close Gitmo and either let everybody go or at least let them out of the death penalty, as a giveaway to get these voters back, or rather to get these imams to tell these voters to come back and vote in Michigan. Folks, they're not going to vote for Trump, okay? But what they can do is stay home. I guarantee you that's what this is about. They have been obsessed with Michigan. Now, that might sound a little radical. Come on, Tara, there's not people who are that rabidly anti-American living in Michigan. Oh, yes, there are. Remember the uproar over this? Back in April, headline, Detroit Free Press. Group that held Dearborn rally says death to America chants were wrongful. Remember that? The massive rally with Muslim leaders screaming death to America, demanding support for Hamas? Remember how even the Democrat governor of that state, Gretchen Whitmer, was so terrified of losing political support she didn't even condemn the death to America chants? Well, this is what you're dealing with. These are the kinds of voters, of Democrat voters, who feel we should be doing everything we can to aid Hamas, the government of Gaza. These are the same Democrat voters they absolutely cannot win with without in Michigan. And yes, Democrats absolutely would remove the death penalty from the co-conspirators of 9/11 and maybe even shut Gitmo down. You'd have to get them out first in order to get those votes. And that's what you just saw. What they didn't anticipate was the level of the backlash, or the media being unable to cover for them when they lied and said, oh, we didn't know, we couldn't stop it. And so they had to reverse it. Folks, it just shows you how radical these Democrats are. But as I often point out, how problematic, increasingly problematic, their alliance with radical Islamist terror groups, terror sponsoring and harboring nations. Folks, I mean, what do we have last week? Who is funding these violent street protests in favor of Hamas, where you have Democrat grassroots and radical Islamists and LGBTQ groups marching side by side in the streets? It's a combination of Joe Biden's donors. We learned that from Politico. And who? Iran. As John Kirby admitted last week, you're watching the Democrat Party merged with radical jihadist interests. And it's only going to get worse if they don't get called out for it and lose this election.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.